Welcome back live from the Wisconsin State Fair at the Grand Champion Hall. I'm Lee Rayburn, and we're with you today live until 1 o'clock. We just spoke with the CEO of the State Fair, Sherry Black, and joining us next is the very first Wisconsin State Fair with historian. Oh, we're going to travel back to the very first Wisconsin State Fair with historian Tom Zimmerman, taking us back to the year 1851. If you've got questions about the history of the State Fair, you can ask it here in our audience. We've got our executive producer, Jill Nadeau, will take your question. Or you can send us a call to 1-800-642-1234 or email talk at WPR.org. And Tom, welcome to the show.
Thanks, Lee. It's good to be here.
Thank you for having me.
And I want to start with your dad, because the history of this place, really, you've carried on a legacy that your father started.
Yes. Jerry Zimmerman, born in 1928, just four blocks away on Schlinger Avenue. He was to every fair in his lifetime, except for two. He lived to be 92. He passed away in 2020, the year of COVID. Otherwise, he only missed 1945 when they canceled the fair for the war, and then 1947 when he was serving the United States over in French Morocco. Otherwise, he was at every fair. His mom carried him in his very first summer.
So when did you pick up the mantle and continue it?
I'm born in 57.
Okay.
And so we grew up, all of us, going to the fair as a family together all the time, closer, okay. And my dad got involved in 96. He was busy all those years from 96 to 2020, so about 24 years.
Sure.
And that first year in that time frame, Rick Bjorklund was the CEO. He had a heart for history. Then it was Kathleen O'Leary was an intern along with Jill, who we just talked about, and Jen Puente. Jen went out to be the chief marketing officer. And so those were his friends. And those people as a group have a heart for history. And they start with a couple boxes, paper boxes they found in our grandstand here. Not much stuff.
Yeah.
Dad had his own memorabilia. He had taken photos. He had kept some things. And they said, would you please dig into this? Start finding more about the fair. And preserve our history. And that's what he did. Together with them and a lot of people, he solicited donations and went and spoke about the fair, promoted the fair, and now instead of two boxes, we've got two rooms up in the Tommy Thompson Center full of great memorabilia of the Wisconsin State Fair.
Do you got a favorite piece?
My favorite piece, yeah, I like a couple of them. One of them is just a coin, a metal coin, from the 1948 centennial. It was 23 days long, and I just like seeing something like that that is so memorable. And then here on the fair, some of the best things that we have going for us is 1907, we've got the red brick cattle barn, we've got 1910, the dairy building, and this one that we're sitting in right now, Lee. So those are some of my favorite pieces because these have been around the longest.
The standing buildings that are still here.
Yes. And the fair keeps investing in them, keeping them up to date, and using them as you and I are here using them now. One building that was also around since 1905, it's no longer here. It was replaced in 1975, the Coliseum. But the Coliseum had been the oldest, and it survived until 1975.
Tom, take us back to 1851 and that very first Wisconsin State Fair. It didn't take place in August, and it didn't take place here in West Allis.
Yes, Janesville had the very first. It was 2 days in October. It was at the end of the harvest season. So people were gathering to talk about the harvest, show some of what they had collected. And then there was prize money that they called premiums. And so people would come in to have things judged. We know that there was a 200-pound squash at that first one. So they had 6 acres along the Rock River, and that's one of the things I think people looked for to find the next fairs over the next 40 years as they moved around. Able to get people there, and transportation, places to stay, enough room for people to gather, and as time went by, horse tracks, because what they called time trials was horse racing, which was very popular. So that first setting in Janesville was the first group to see that and to make it work. And then other people grew that as time went by.
How popular was that first Wisconsin?
10,000 people, which is quite a lot when you think about it happening. The Agricultural Society of Wisconsin is who put that together, and they followed that through as they grew the fair over the years. 10,000 people, of course, grew and grew and grew, but the biggest surprise of that was they needed places for people to stay overnight. It was 2 days. and they ran out of course public accommodations. So the people of Janesville kindly let some of the people just stay with them.
Oh, wow.
So they had a place to go, which is a great start of the fair.
So it started in Janesville on the Rock River. Where did it go from there before it ended up where we are today on the state fairgrounds?
Yes, 18 years in Milwaukee. So Cold Springs had an area in Milwaukee. They had a racetrack, which was important.
Sure.
And so they weren't all in a row at Milwaukee. They moved around. So 18 in Milwaukee, 10 in Madison, which five of those were in Camp Randall area. Mm-hmm. And then two in Fongelap, one in Watertown, and six total in Janesville.
Our executive producers from Watertown.
Okay. Well, they had one. And, you know, people learned from each state fair. What do we need to do next time? They would talk about that. More of this, less of that. And that's one of the reasons it did move around. And then in Madison actually invested and had a stadium that they built, 8,000 people. Yeah, very large. So that's they wanted to have the fair there, and they invested in it. And some of the other areas did that as well, including Milwaukee.
Tom Zimmerman, what's the history of the state fairgrounds that we're on today?
So after that 40 years, we only missed 3 years of the Civil War. Otherwise, so that was 37 of those 40 years from 1851 to 1891. And the legislature at that time had $155,000 to give to the fair, or to the Agricultural Society. And they said, but it had strings attached.
Mm.
They wanted it within 10 miles of Milwaukee, and they wanted at least 100 acres. They had learned by then that space was necessary and the crowds were growing, so good on them. And as people looked around, this was the perfect place, the Stevens Farm. They had 160 acres that they were able to sell to the fair and the legislature for $850 an acre. And this plot that we're all standing on, sitting on and enjoying is largely the same rectangle since then, bordered by 84th Street, Coonfield Avenue, 707th, and what is now I-94. So it was the perfect space, and it's lasted that long.
When did we set the attendance record at the Wisconsin State Fair?
Well, it's a surprise to most people that the attendance was set long ago, 1948.
Now, there's a caveat to this, right?
There is. It was the centennial for the state, 1948, and it ran 23 days, and it was 1.7 million people. So that's quite a large group of people moving through here. And I'll tell you, that's the question over in the history exhibit when we have people take the quiz that's most people miss, because it's hard to believe that there was 1.7 million
people over 23 days. When did the 11-day state fair start?
It kind of migrated, Lee. Mm-hmm. 2 days that first October quickly went to three, and then to four and five and six. In 1928, they kind of experimented. They hadn't had one on a Sunday. And they said, we need to try this. They're waiting to try a Sunday, and they did. And they very quickly said, you know, the next year there was a little pushback. Having something take place on a Sunday, it went back to not. But then we hit the Great Depression, and so it stayed then that 6 days until 1934. And in 1934, then they said, look, it's 7 days, and from there it progressed a little bit by little bit. Moved from October to September, then to August, and as it moved into those months, it grew longer. Part of the reason was there was so much interest, more people wanted to come. Well, with more people, then they had more people, needed more people to work. Some of those people were summer workers then, right? With students, and people were traveling on vacations. The people that didn't work needed to get back to school, so it edged earlier into August until we had 11 days. 1979 was the earliest date then of August 2nd. And we've stayed around that area ever since.
Right, the start of August. Although
yes.
When we started in 1851, it was more about the end of harvest than it was about the start of August.
Yes, and you know, that's the other thing that evolved, Lee, over time. Not just the harvest, but you know, gathering, then food, beverages, there's beer involved, of course, right? And competitions like you already talked about here in this building, the Horticulture Building in the Grand Champion Hall.
You mentioned the Great Depression. How did the state fair survive the Great Depression, and how were people in Wisconsin still able to celebrate here?
That's the thing about the state fair. It's always held on. Sure, they cut back a little bit, but people wanted to come. It was popular. And one of the things, as an example, was the milk. They were milking their cows, and you had to do something with it. And also, people around here needed it. So my dad told the story that he was 7 or 8, middle of the Depression. You could bring in a pail.
Empty pail.
His mom would put a lunch in there. He'd stash it. So during the day, if he needed food, he could go find some, get his apple. But at the end of the day, with the evening milking, he'd get his pail filled, along with very many other people, take that home. And there was the State Fair helping this local area with people during the Depression with milk.
So the admission was an empty pail.
It was.
And at the end of the day, you get to take it home full.
It was. And I think that's a great statement about the Wisconsin State Fair. It's always had that kind of a heart.
What about the years where we had no State Fair? What were the reasons for that?
Yeah, and there's very few that we missed. The three in the Civil War that we talked about. Mm-hmm. And then the first year after we opened in 1892 at this site, 1893, there was a Chicago Columbian Exposition, very large.
Sure.
And the State Fair folks said, well, we might either compete with it or it's competing with us. We're going to pass. And so they did. And so that's the other miss. And then in the war years, 1945, the War Department actually asked us to please not have it. They were trying to save gasoline, rubber, other things. Although they relented right before we could have had the fair, it was too late. And so we didn't have it. Now, one thing that came out of that 1945 that we didn't have, the Coliseum was open, and there was a local company called Acme Lunchbox. And they had this idea for ice freezing, portable ice machinery. And they put it in the Coliseum on the ground, and they made an ice rink. And they proved the point that you could have it, and that was the beginning, the precursor to Holiday on Ice.
You're kidding.
No, that's the truth. And so there was a positive of not having it that year. And of course, then, as you know, 2020 was COVID year, and we missed that one.
Yeah. And really, we do miss it, because this becomes a central celebration in the state of Wisconsin. It becomes a place where farmers who are working year-round have the opportunity to come and celebrate and enjoy the fruits of the labors, socialize, learn from each other, and everybody else gets to see what Wisconsin's all about.
Yes, and it is that mix of agriculture and fun and letting off steam and things like our four major breweries who were a part of it over time, because there was something in Milwaukee called the garden, the beer garden. And they took that idea here, Schlitz and Miller and Blatz and Pabst, they all had areas like that that you could consider beer gardens.
Except during Prohibition.
Except.
Can we talk about Prohibition for a second? Because I understand that there was actually active detectives involved.
Sure. And from 20 to 33, even there's a report of one of the arrests during that time wasn't beer, it was moonshine. And so somebody was fined for having moonshine in. There, in our exhibit this year, over in the history exhibit, the Miller group, Daniel Scholzen, is their archivist. He put on loan to us two pieces, very nice. One of them is a Miller sign, and it says Miller. But behind it, you can tell that it's been covered over that says Milwaukee's Best Beer. And as Daniel explained it to me, that was only in the 1890s. So we have a sign here at the fair this year from the 1890s. And then you mentioned the Prohibition. After 1933, you see that iconic golden bottle of the Miller a brewery that they had on a building here. And we've got one of those painted on tin, more than life size, about your height. And you can tell by looking at that, Daniel explains that when you look at the girl in the moon, who we all recognize, that is post-Prohibition, and that's a 1933 piece.
So, and it's on display at the Tommy Thompson Youth Center?
It's on display in our history exhibit over in the Exploratory Park.
Okay. I also want to ask about some of the luminaries that have made their presence here at the Wisconsin State Fair. I believe, does it start with Abe Lincoln? Is he the first big marquee politician to make his presence here?
Sure. We all want to remember Abe. He was here. He was paid $150 to speak, and he spoke about agriculture.
That's good money back in the day.
It was, and he was campaigning the next year for 1860 when he was elected. So this was 1859, a year ahead of that. And then, of course, he passed away in 1865, only 5 years later. But he was well-received. People spoke highly of it. One of the things we like to note, he talked about the steam engine being used for machinery in agriculture. And Mr. Lincoln's call on that was, it would never work.
Oh.
We're not going to be using machinery because horses do the job.
So bad call.
He got that one wrong, but still exciting nonetheless. And other presidents then followed, to your point, after that. In 1878, we had Rutherford Hayes. He spoke in Madison, because that year was in Madison.
Okay.
He had equipped one day in, took a boat ride on Mendota. And it was at that time, it was 1878, he spoke about the post-Civil War boom that was happening, including in Wisconsin. And he attributed and acknowledged that. And then only 2 years later, Grant, you would frequently assess Grant, was here. This was after his presidency.
Okay.
He lived in Galena. His family had done some leather goods work, and he had traveled southeastern Wisconsin. He was known to spend an evening in the local public house having some brews and telling stories to the people. So he was also well appreciated in Madison, and he did speak about Wisconsin's growth. And then in 1909, Taft spoke here, and there's pictures of him right over in the grandstand area, and we have a photograph of him speaking with Fighting Bob Lafato.
Tom Zimmerman, our guest, historian for the Wisconsin State Fair, as his father was before him, and we welcome you to the conversation. If you've got questions, you can ask our executive producer who is over here at the table if you're here at the Grand Champion Hall, or you can give us a call, 1-800-642-1234, 800-642-1234, or send us an email to talk@wpr.org. You mentioned our record attendance back at the centennial celebration, which took place over 23 days, which is kind of like cheating. Do we have any other, have we set any world records here, Tom?
Well, we've had world records for food, Sham Tort, largest cream puff. But for records for attendance, other than 1.7 million, we have been going over a million fairly regularly, 1.1 million. But one of the largest days was actually 1942. And that's because it was wartime and people needed something to do.
Sure.
In the 40s, they had a special price, 40 cents for the 40s. And in 1942, we have 124,000 people on one day. Ooh. So that was a very large day. And then, of course, we've broken those records here recently, including 2024.
What about the world record Sham Tort? I mean, that's not easy to make in a regular sense.
No, that was in the 1980s we did that here. And so I forget what the weight of that was. But
the heaviest Sham Tort?
Largest is what Guinness World Records call.
Aren't they supposed to be light and fluffy?
Not this one.
And then go figure that we'd set the record for the world record cream puff.
Of course, on 120 pounds of the most delicious cream puff in the world, the original cream puff.
And the Guinness Book of World Records acknowledges that.
Acknowledges it.
We are in the book.
Yes.
What happened to that world record cream?
Well, I hope people got to enjoy it. I wasn't there.
Okay, so here's my story. It's hard enough. I struggle with enjoying a cream puff in front of others because it can get messy and there's questions about the method. But when you've got a world record cream puff in front of you, where do you even begin?
Well, I'd begin with the cream.
Of course, every time. Okay. Thank you for that. You have an online quiz, by the way, that I took 3 times over the weekend.
How did you do?
Not great.
Okay.
I scored one better each and every time. And I saw if you get 8 out of 10, there is a little prize that you
can. Not just a little prize. It's a grand champion ribbon. It is the real deal.
I can get a ribbon?
Yeah, a grand champion ribbon for the Wisconsin State Fair. And you know, we're getting a lot of interest. People are coming by. When you take the quiz, if you get 8 out of 10, you just take a screenshot of your phone. You walk up and people are walking up with their screenshots and getting their ribbons.
This is not an easy quiz.
There's a lot of information. And I came up with 175 questions by combing my dad's information. It took a couple months. And of course, collaborating with my friends here at the fair. And some of them are a little more difficult as it goes on. But at the same time, one thing people are saying is they're having a lot of fun, even taking it multiple times, because it gives you the answer and explains it.
Oh,
we are
yeah.
factoids. And so you ask, if you don't get Lincoln's question right, it will tell you a little bit about Lincoln. Same for every question. So some people have passed it in 2. That's the best I've gotten so far. Some people have taken a 10 to get it. And then some people have just kept taking it because they're having fun. So it's very much fun.
This is a chance for everybody to score a Wisconsin State Fair ribbon. No
yes.
matter how long it takes, at this point, it would be worth taking the online trivia question. And it's at wistatefair.com, and then you'll find it within the page, right?
Right. Or if you just if you go to your browser and look for 175 trivia time, it will lead you back to the state fair.
Okay.
Or you go to the WisconsinStateFair.com site /175 trivia time. We also have the QR code around the fair. Some people are scanning that. So there's multiple ways to get there.
Take the test as many times as it takes. This is your chance to get a Wisconsin State Fair
and
ribbon.
Learn a lot about our history along the way, which is a lot of fun.
Well, another part of this history that I remember when the Bears and Packers preseason games were at Milwaukee Stadium during the state fair. That's when my family would go because I've got a Bear fan and a Packer fan in the family.
Sure.
But the Packers have a history with the state fair itself, don't they?
They were here for 18 years.
Wow.
So that the midfield, infield of the Milwaukee Mile has gotten a lot of action. One of those things was, in fact, the Packers from 1934 to about 1951, 18 seasons.
Didn't they have a champion? Yeah.
1939.
Yeah.
So not quite a Super Bowl because we weren't all
before the Super Bowl.
But it was the World Championship, and that was against the Giants 27-0. My dad was 11, and he snuck in.
Really?
So our first historian was, in fact, at the 1939 championship.
Not legitimately, but he found a way.
He told me later, he said, by the second quarter, the ushers were a little more relaxed, letting people step in and look out, and that's how he pulled it off.
Yeah, did he explain what that experience was like? Because, before the Super Bowl, you wonder how popular was football, or the Packers for that matter.
Oh,
but
yeah, he remembered it enough to tell that story many, many times. And I heard it many times. Also, when they just before they demolished that grandstand, the TV and networks came through and toured it, and there were actually shower rooms, lockers for the football players still there, and then they demolished it in 2002.
Is there a piece of history that sticks out to you, Tom, being so seeped in it and having your father, really spearheading this from the outset? What is it about the Wisconsin State Fair's history that really speaks to you?
Well, the thing that I've noticed going over all this information for so many years is that the fair continues to invest and reinvent itself. It's always something new. As I look across every decade, you see something. The first Millie's permanent vendor stand in 1932, the first cream puff in 24. But then coming forward, there's the plein air art contest and the fair. Fantastic, the poster contest. So there's always something new.
That's, Racing Pigs.
Yes, 1986.
Nice. See, you win this trivia game.
And so all those things, I'm impressed by that. But one thing that I found is very interesting is, in fact, the grandstand as an actor. Because the grandstand has been around very long and had a lot of its own history. It was burned down with a lot of things in 1914. A tornado came through. There were fires. It was wood. We lost some of it. They rebuilt in 1915 and then went to concrete in 1925. So this grandstand is starting to get a foothold with concrete. And then in 1936, the WPA, the Works Projects Administration, went through WPA, and they really made this robust grandstand that lasted into 2002. And then we built it again. So I'm kind of impressed by that history of the grandstand and all the things that occurred in front of it, including all the entertainment that has come along with the fair over all these years.
I've got a minute, Tom, but how has technology changed the exhibits over the years?
I think, well, a lot of it is how much it hasn't changed, right? Because the fair is still the fair. So even with the cream puffs, there's new machinery to make them, inject them, cut them, but make more of it. But the cream puff is the cream puff. And I'd say, the Sporkies, that's food, right? Well, it's not technology, it's on a stick. But it's one of the fun things about the fair that
it's a great invention, food on a stick.
It is, it's one of the best. So, as far as technology goes, I think we preserve our food better. There is more air conditioning. When I was a kid,
there you go.
I begged my parents to come here into this building because it was air conditioned. And of course, now the Expo Center and other buildings are as well. So I think that's some of the technology to your question.
Tom Zimmerman, happy 175th anniversary.
Thank you for having me, and I hope everybody tries that trivia quest.
I will try it again until I am able to get that ribbon. Tom Zimmerman, historian for the Wisconsin State Fair. Again, 175 trivia time. If you search that, you will find a link to the quiz. We are live from the Wisconsin State Fair at the Grand Champion Hall. We'll be here for another hour with a couple more guests featuring as much as we can, of what the State Fair has to offer. I'm Lee Rayburn, and you are listening to WPR News.